Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Singularity by Bill DeSmet. Copyright 2004 by William H. DeSmet. All rights reserved.
Chapter 32. Doomsday Scenario. Jack spent the next 15 minutes giving his audience of three the short course in primordial black hole physics, with emphasis on the Tunguska event. Just like around the Siberian campfire a week ago. Except here, thanks to the one called Mycroft, he could call on the 3D simulations from his home lab as a visual aid. Those vivid sims of the first moments of creation were great for snapping undergrad classes out of the afternoon doldrums. Today, though, Jack suspected he could have got by with bright lights and bird shadows. His audience was hanging on his every word, focusing with an almost eerie intensity. Question was, were they buying it? The two guys, Knox and Mycroft, were at least nodding in the right places. The woman, Bonaventure, was going to be a harder sell. He'd seen that skeptical look before, though seldom in eyes so beautiful. Beautiful eyes that had just now begun to widen. She was staring, not at Jack, but at the simulation.
That! I've seen that before. What is that?
Jack paused in mid-sentence to check where the sim had got to.
That's the PBH. Vortilac, you call it? Orbiting inside the Earth. Where'd you say you'd seen it? I'm sorry, but that information's only available on a need-to-know basis.
Mycroft hadn't told Jack much about this client, this Mariana Bonaventure. Not as much as she just told him with that one rapid-fire disclaimer. Government for sure, and not the National Park Service either. Maybe some agency with enough in the way of discretionary funding to bankroll a Tunguska 2 expedition?
And you're saying you can prove all this, Professor Adler?
Did she sound marginally more concerned?
Call me Jack, he said. And yes, I did prove it. It's just the proof got itself smashed into a million pieces and scattered all over the taiga.
He went on to tell them about the wreck of his experiment, the murder of his friend, his own brush with death.
This man, the one you say killed Igor, could you describe him?
For a skeptic, she seemed to be having no problem at all swallowing what was to Jack far and away the most fantastical part of his tale.
I didn't get a real good look, you understand. Too far away. If I'd been much closer, I expect I'd be dead now, too.
He paused, trying to reconstruct horrific memories.
A big guy, dressed all in black. Dark hair, mustache. This isn't helping, is it? It's too many people.
But she was listening even more intently now. What else was there?
Oh, the guy smiled at the end there. A real evil grin. And there was something funny about it. Almost as if a couple of his side teeth were made of metal.
Yuri, the woman whispered. It wasn't a question.
Mariana's head was spinning. She hadn't believed it, didn't really believe it even now.
But when Jack Adler's animated slideshow had all of a sudden morphed into a much more elaborately rendered twin to the wireframe diagram she'd seen in Rusalka's secret lab, John's hunch had taken one giant step from fever dream to barely tenable hypothesis. And now this. She wished she could shrug it off as coincidence, or a trick of the light, or even a false, trauma-induced memory. But it sure sounded like it had been Yuri there in that remote corner of Siberia. And why else would he have traveled literally halfway around the world to obliterate some obscure researcher and an even more obscure experiment? She stole a glance at John. He tried to tell her, and she'd snapped at him. If it had been left up to her, they'd have never uncovered this, call it a lead for now, a lead linking the globe-spanning Grecian Enterprises Corporation to an event long, long ago and far, far away. John turned and met her gaze. I think it's time we pooled information here. Tell Jack what we know. About Antipode and the rest of it, I mean. She wished he hadn't gone and blurted that word out before she'd had time to think it through. That's all neat to know, John. I've been stretching a point, even divulging it to Dr. Lawrence here. I'm for sure not comfortable sharing it with an uncleared individual over a non-secure link. She waved a hand in the general direction of Mycroft's console and saw that Mycroft was staring at her with an unfamiliar expression on his face. He cleared his throat and said in a slightly strained voice, I think you'll find my communications security more than adequate to the circumstances. That was the strange expression. She'd offended him. I'm sure that's so, on this end, but how can you vouch for the other side of the video conference? Set your mind at ease, ma'am, Jack said. The first thing we did after Dr. Lawrence found me was download his communications encryption software. Sets up something called a VPN with IP tunneling? A whimsical smile. Too deep for me, but it's running on my end, too. And just where is your end? A hunting lodge outside Tomsk. Belongs to a colleague, a friend in need, academician Dmitry Pavlovich Medvedev. A Russian? Mariana let that sink in. Christ, he's not online too, is he? No, he's in town for the evening. But it wouldn't matter if he was. I'd trust that man with my life. Have done, in fact. You said he's a colleague, right? An astrophysicist? Planetologist, actually. But yeah, close enough. Well, where does he stand on this microhole impact theory of yours? Jack gave a rueful laugh. He thinks I've been smoking my socks. Says I've got no evidence now that my experiment's been trashed. He's right, too. Unless you folks have dug up something new. His mild blue eyes looked at her expectantly. John didn't say anything, but he too was looking at her, waiting. Oh, go ahead, she told John. If there ever was a need-to-know situation, this is it. And here Jack had thought he'd had a wild story to tell. It took a conscious effort to keep his mouth from hanging open as John Knox filled him in on missing magnetohydrodynamicists, on a defrocked cosmologist commanding the resources of Russia's third-largest conglomerate, on a banquet featuring room-temperature superconductivity and a strange toast, on a nuclear-powered installation with the curious name of Antipode at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, on a man named Arkady Grishin sitting in the middle of the web spun from all these separate strands, the man who, more than likely, had ordered Jack killed. Jack sat there integrating what he'd just learned with what he already knew. Well, he said, they could have found one of the hole's other apogees. Calling the place Antipode kind of hints at that. Not that the Azores are opposite Tunguska on the globe, but they are where the thing was supposed to come out the other side. Other side of the Earth, get it? By the look on her face, the client still didn't want to believe it. How could Grecian and company have found it, though? John Knox said. That's a big ocean out there. Mariana and I can personally vouch for that. Jack thought for a moment. Let's see. Given unrestricted access to the impact site, Their best bet would have been analyzing the throwdown pattern of the trees. With a good enough fix on the entrance angle, they could have ballparked the Azores' apogee to within, I'd guesstimate 20 miles or so. What I'm having a hard time with is how they narrowed it down from there.
The Bonaventure woman spoke up.
Would a detailed seismographic survey of the North Atlantic have helped?
Helped? Pinpointed it, more like.
Well, Grecian's done one. The Rusalka Oceanographic team published it 5-6 years ago.
Jack mulled it over.
And from there, they could have run confirmation sweeps with a squid. This boat of Grecian's, did she ever spend a lot of time steaming in circles?
A year after that survey came out, come to think, Bonaventure said. Her single longest summer voyage, 12 weeks all told, she spent almost half that time sailing round and round a stretch of ocean northwest of, northwest of the Azores.
What I don't get, Knox was saying, is why they wouldn't just set up shop in Siberia, on the impact site itself. It has to have been simpler than building on the seabed.
That's an easy one, Jack said. Sounds like this Grecian fellow likes his privacy. Tunguska's no place for that. You'd have researchers crawling all over you every other year. Besides, have you ever tried building anything on permafrost? Most treacherous stuff in the world. Stress it wrong, and it goes from concrete to putty faster than you can blink. No, I'd bet real money Grecians found another semi-stable apogee and built this antipode station on top of it. Question is, what's he planning on doing with it?
We were kind of hoping you'd tell us, Knox said.
Well, I saw what looked like signs they'd been trying to true up the orbit. Pretty hairy proposition in its own right, but it can't be the whole story.
Knox shook his head. It's not. Our best information comes down to a single word. Capture. This time, Jack didn't even try to keep his jaw from dropping.
Sweet Jesus! I was afraid you were going to say that.
Knox didn't understand.
Isn't it better to catch the damn thing and have done with it?
I guess so. Jack sounded dubious. Anyway, it's probably academic by now. The capture was slated for 10:47 p.m. on the 3rd of August, 2 nights ago. Knox stopped talking then and looked over at Mariana. He recognized that look she was giving the floorboards. Something had just clicked for her. For some reason, the mention of the date just now, the whole thing had right this instant stopped being an intellectual exercise. She believed. When she looked up again, her face was several shades paler.
Would it even be possible to catch such an object?
Possible? Sure, Adler said. And with those room-temperature superconductors, Grecian's got the right butterfly net. That's why he needed your missing magnetohydrodynamics experts, by the way, to build an electromagnetic cage. He sketched out how the primordial black hole's magnetic charge offered a hook to grapple it by. So, yeah, it's possible, but you'd have to be damn sure you weren't going to drop the ball, so to speak.
Mariana's, "Why, what happens then?" was barely on the edge of audibility.
"Wouldn't it just go back into orbit again?" Knox asked, somewhat louder.
"No, no, no. Catching the thing means stopping it in its tracks. If you lose hold of it after that, it for damn sure won't fall back into its old trajectory. Best case, it'll pass close enough to the Earth's core to slingshot into a whole new orbit, and good luck ever finding it again."
"If that's the best case, what's the worst?"
"Doomsday scenario. Major deceleration as it hits the high conductivity zone at the core. The object comes to rest at the center of the Earth, not in centuries, but in decades or less. Here, watch."
Adler keyed in a command, and his sim resumed running in its separate window. The little computer-generated Vortilac paused and held at the top of its arc. Then it was back in motion again, but this time it wasn't tracing out any delicate spirographic rosette. Its new path through the Earth resembled more the dynamics of another childhood plaything. A yo-yo. A yo-yo on an ever-shortening string. As they watched, the orbit degenerated further and further, the micro-hole finally coming to rest at the center of the simulated Earth.
"And that's the beginning of the end," Nadler said.
"From there, it starts gulping down core material like there's no tomorrow.
And there won't be."
"But only if they screwed up the capture." Knox gave Mariana what he hoped was a reassuring smile. She nodded and tried to smile back, but her eyes still held that haunted look, as if she needed to say something, but couldn't decide how to say it.
"Just hypothetically, Dr. Adler, Jack," she began finally, "let's assume Grecian succeeded in caging this thing. What would happen if the cage were jostled?"
"Jostled?" Knox's eyes narrowed. "Jostled how?"
"Let's say by a..."
Mariana took a deep breath. Her next words came fast and low.
"A low-yield tactical nuclear device."
"Jesus H. Christ, Mariana!" Knox exploded. "Is Pete out of his fucking mind? Are you all?"
"But it's an unmanned target,"
Mariana started to reply, thought better of it, tried again.
"Sorry, John. I wanted to tell you all along, honest. It's all this damned need-to-know bullshit."
She flared briefly, then broke off. When she resumed, her voice was shaking.
"Oh, God, John, what else can we do if Grecian has really got hold of that... the thing?"
She looked sorry and angry and scared as hell. Knox's own anger drained out of him. It was all he could do not to take her in his arms and hold her. Contraindicated, once she'd mastered her immediate reaction, she'd like as not go back to stonewalling on them. He settled for saying, "Okay, it's okay. We'll work through this somehow. You'd better give us the whole story, though." He tried giving her a hard look, failed utterly. She drew a shuddering breath.
"All right. Can I make a call first?"
Mariana inserted a one-time encryption tab into her handheld and keyed in Pete's reach number. "Aristos," said the familiar voice, backed by an unfamiliar rumble of powerful engines. Pete must be en route to the task force already. She knew better than to ask.
"Pete, Mariana."
"Mariana, where in hell are you? The New York office was supposed to pick you up and escort you out to Tsunami."
"The escort didn't... they didn't make it, Pete. And it's Tsunami I'm calling about. We... listen, Pete, I think we've got to put it on hold, at least until..."
"What?" "We bail now. We're fucked. Not just you and me. It's Crom's ass on the line, too."
"I know, Pete. Believe me, I know. But we've got no choice. Grecian's got hold of a..."
How did she put this across to Pete when she wasn't sure she believed it herself?
"Call it a doomsday device. You hit antipode now, you'll trigger it."
"Doomsday device?"
Pete was nearly shouting now.
"Like in Dr. Strangelove?"
"Pete, you don't... okay, it's not really a doomsday device. If anything, it's worse."
"Worse? How in hell could it be worse?"
"Oh, Lord, here goes. It's a black hole, Pete. A real little one. That hydrophone alert Tuesday night? That was Grecian catching it. I'm in video conference right now with an astrophysicist who's been tracking the thing and..."
"Black hole? It's that Knox guy, isn't it? He put you up to this. Christ on a crutch, Mariana. I had you figured for more sense."
"Stay calm, stay calm. You're not listening, Pete. I know it sounds crazy, but there are ways to check it out. Have research verify an explosion in the middle of Siberia 90-some-odd years ago. Check with the airlines. Grecian flew that hired gun of his, Yuri, out to the same impact site last week to whack the scientist who discovered the thing, who's conferenced in with us right now. It's why Grecian needed the MHD proles, Pete, to build a magnetic cage for the hole. And now that they've caught it, we can't..."
She stopped.
"Pete, you there?"
"I've heard just about enough of this. Think what you're saying, for God's sake. Then answer me one thing. Why?"
"Research pegged the price tag on this antipode station at $2 to $5 billion.
That's dollars, not ruples. And you're telling me it's all about catching a hole? What for?"
"Believe me, Pete, if I knew what Grecian's doing it for..."
"I don't have time for this. You don't either. You're going to hustle your butt out to the task force. Now, give me your GPS coords and I'll set up transport. Where in hell are you, anyway?
Sorry, Pete, she said. That information is only available on a need-to-know basis. And she hit the exit key.
Her handheld beeped immediately. Pete trying to home in on her. Mariana opened the back of the unit and yanked the battery. She couldn't talk to him again just yet. Not when the only thing he'd listened to was hard facts, whys and wherefores. She didn't have any. And she wasn't going to get them on board a C-141 bound for the Azores. In fact, the only place she stood a chance of getting the answer she needed was right here, at Weathertop. And to get, she'd have to give. Need to know be damned. She walked back to where John and Mycroft were talking quietly with Jack, her own little think tank. Could they do it? Tell her what she needed to know? Had to. They were all she had. Time to spill the rest of the beans. She sat down, cleared her throat.
You were right, John. They've got it. Grecian's definitely got it. Like I tried to tell Pete, it's the only explanation that fits the facts.
Quickly, then, she filled them in on the hydrophone event at 2347 Zulu Tuesday night. And Sosus ruled out an undersea volcano? Jack asked when she was finished.
That's just what Sasha said it was. But no, this was no natural eruption. No preambles, no aftershocks, just one god-awful crunch. Total duration maybe 45 seconds. Then all quiet again. I'm sorry, Jack. I'd love to be wrong on this, but it was the capture, all right.
Let's just pray they can hold on to it, he whispered.
The hydrophone reading was enough to triangulate in on Antipode, I suppose, John said. She nodded.
The epicenter was on top of a mile-high mountain out in the Newfoundland Basin, the same place Rusalka was cutting donuts 6 summers back.
Now, John said quietly, the rest of it.
Right, she went on unhappily. Well, between that and our own intel on Antipode, Pete got the Energy Secretary to recommend a go on Operation Tsunami. That's the code name for an all-out air-sea assault on Rusalka.
But now with a little something extra thrown in for good measure, John prodded. Mariana nodded again.
Tsunami has been reconfigured as a two-pronged attack, coordinated to take out both the surface and undersea elements in one shot. Given a choice, we'll capture Rusalka rather than sink her.
And Antipode?
Well, it's not as if there'd be people there, not 2 miles down. And the best guesses on what could be down there have got the National Security Council climbing the walls. Not that it's anybody's preferred outcome, you understand, but if need be, Crom's ready to nuke it first and ask questions later. The whole thing's good to go for first light tomorrow,
she finished bleakly.
Jesus H. Christ!
Jack echoed John's earlier sentiments.
You've got to find a way to call it off.
But wouldn't a nuclear explosion destroy this Vortilak?
She asked.
Not hardly. It took the biggest explosion of all time to create it. The Big Bang.
Jack shook his head.
No, as far as Vortilak is concerned, all your piddling little low-yield device will do is momentarily increase its food supply. But the impact on Antipode itself is a different story. The blast wave from a nuclear explosion at that depth is going to crack your mountaintop wide open.
And then?
And then it's doomsday all over again, except we do it to ourselves this time. As to what happens, hell's bells, what doesn't?
Jack waved an arm distractedly.
Tectonic upheavals, the mantle buckling, ultimately the collapse of the Earth itself. Maybe I should have taken the sim all the way through to the finale. If you could see...
That's okay, Knox said. We get the picture. Giant sucking sound. End of story. That tore it for her.
John, please don't. That's ghastly.
Try as she might, Mariana couldn't seem to get her hands around this situation. Something that a nuke couldn't put a dent in. Something that could eat the world. No wonder Pete didn't believe it. What could Grecian... What could anyone possibly want with such a monstrosity? When she'd called it a doomsday device, had she hit on the literal truth? Mariana shivered.
5 years with Crom had pretty much desensitized her to the prospect of thermonuclear and biochemical terrorism. This was a whole different threat level. Black holes and global annihilation could not be happening, not on her watch. She rose and walked to the wall of glass fronting the great room, arms hugged tight against her body, as if huddling against a freezing wind. She gazed outward, seeking to purge nightmare images with vistas of the gentle, eternal mountains. But the Blue Ridge brought her no peace. The ancient range looked fragile somehow, as though it, and the whole earth with it, might be swept away, swallowed up in an instant, as though the ground might suddenly open up beneath her to reveal the yawning void. She pressed her forehead against the cool glass, tried to calm down. Rishan can't be planning to use the thing as a doomsday weapon. That scenario only made sense, if it ever did, when your back was up against the wall. His wasn't, not yet. What did that leave? What else was there? She turned back to the group. Okay, she let out a breath. I'll go to the mat with Pete one more time for you, but first, there's something you've got to give me. Three faces, two in the flesh, one in video conference, turned to look at her expectantly. Her gaze came to rest on John. A reason, she said. There's no way in hell Pete's going to pull the plug on Tsunami if I can't even tell him what they want this Vortilak thing for in the first place. She nearly succeeded in keeping the shudder out of her voice as she added, End of the world aside, what's the worst Grecian could do with it?
You've been listening to Singularity by Bill DeSmet.